I love that it's still slow.
Prophecy, reveal to us God's will that we may blindly obey.
Free us from thought and responsibility.
I need to cut that up. This is Pure Decking for Thursday, something, something 2020. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and building a business plan based on kidnapping time travelers. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Madman.
Hola. I have booze.
Okay, drinking the generic triple X bottle from the liquor store out of the brown paper bag. We have Ryu.
Hello.
And we have Syntax.
Oh yeah, that's me.
And I leave him hanging.
I'm actually drinking something really good tonight because I got myself a bottle of Sexton single malt Irish whiskey.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm just doing the old devil's cut tonight.
Yeah, and what toaster pastry are you pairing it with?
None. Because I've been working so much, I haven't had time to go to the grocery store. So it's just liquid diet for me.
Twizzlers. He's paired it with Twizzlers.
Nothing wrong with that. Or Cheez-Its.
I don't even have Twizzlers or Cheez-Its. Like, that's the problem. I decided to not go to the grocery store again today so that I could do the show.
So, you know, I just realized we forgot to participate in the great tradition of setting up for the show in the pre-show. So we're just going to play the shortened version.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay. Serious crap.
Okay. Now that we got that out of the way. It's tradition. You can't break tradition.
You got to pay homage to the fallen, my friend.
I actually, that's relevant later. We'll swing back around to that when I get into articles.
Does that mean we play the Nuremberg rally for the storm fags that got kicked off as well?
Just, you know, some random, just some random German part of a speech from, you know, 1942.
Let's play some interracial gay German porn for the storm fags.
Let's go down and call the night.
No, the way we remember the storm fags is we look at all the SJW peer-reviewed magazines that published Mein Kampf.
I'll pass it out.
That's how you probably remember a storm fag. Like, you've got Mein Kampf into that magazine. You didn't, but it was placed there for you.
All over the walls.
So, anyways, yeah, I don't. Wow, we went from zero to Mein Kampf really quickly tonight.
Yeah.
You owe me $5, Morps. Told you I could get us there.
No, you didn't. Actually, I don't know who you bet $5 against, though.
I was there. I heard it.
Yeah, but I wasn't. That's the problem, Syntax.
Hey, no, I'm your wallet was, and that's all that matters.
Dude, I'm using the Kavanaugh thing. I don't care if you weren't there. You're fucking there. Give me the money.
So let's start off with the most amusing discussion topic for tonight, because we can. It's from the BBC, but this article is all over the place. RU sent it to me. I found it like three other places before there. But anyways, it's all over the place, and it's fantastic. So Japan's cybersecurity minister has never used a computer.
This guy's fucking great.
It's a bit like our infrastructure minister. Never even built fucking Lego.
That's the most secure computer habits of everyone on this channel.
Absolutely. The entire InfoSec Twitter community has fucking exploded, going, well, he's fucking doing it correctly. Like, he is 100% secure.
So, let's just read the article here. Japan's new cybersecurity minister has dumbfounded his country by saying he has never used a computer. Yoshitara Sakatarada made the admission to a committee of lawmakers. Since I was 25 years old and independent, I have instructed my staff and secretaries. I have never used a computer in my life, he said, according to a translation by the Kyoto News Agency. The 68-year-old was appointed to his post last month. His duties include overseeing cyber defense preparations for the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. A politician from the...
I'm sorry.
You feel better now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Smoke weed every day.
I mean, that's right up there with it. A politician from the opposition Democratic Party, Masata Amami, whose question had prompted the admission, expressed surprise. I find it unbelievable that somebody who is responsible for cybersecurity measures has never used a computer, he said. But Mr. Sakatarada, I'm going to pronounce the name differently every time I see it, so just get ready for that. Responded that other officials had the necessary experience and he was confident there would not be a problem. However, his struggles...
How would he fucking know there's not a problem?
That's not what I was laughing at, but it's great.
How's everything going, Rod? Great, boss. Good, because I can't fucking tell what you're doing there. He's just sitting there going... I'm working.
Are
you sure that's a computer? It looks like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Because, if you worked for this guy, he'd be like, what are you doing? You just go cyber things, and, you're playing your DS or whatever. Like, there's... Yeah,
however, it gets funnier. His struggle to answer a follow-up question about whether USB drives were in use at the country's nuclear power stations caused further concern. The disclosure has been much discussed on social media, where the reaction has been a mix of astonishment and hilarity, with some noting that it should at least mean Mr. Sakatarada would be hard to hack. And then the rest of the story is people's Twitter posts, which I'm not all that interested in. But, I mean, yeah, just go nuts. Just go nuts. I mean, how do you respond to that? I mean, it's the country that gave us Ghost in the Shell, and the guy in charge of their security's never used a computer.
He really is doing it right. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about emails leaking or... He doesn't have to worry about
his
emails
leaking.
Well, yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah,
he's totally fine. Everybody else is fucked.
You know, my question is: so he says he's never used a computer.
Are you having a heart attack, Morps?
No, I'm getting a prop. Go ahead.
I'm like, someone is dying over there.
Yeah.
But so I would be willing to bet that he is. Either drives or is driven around in like a big Mercedes or a big BMW or a Lexus or something. All of those have computers in them. Therefore, he's lying.
You got to speak and spell.
So I've got a computer for him. I'm going to send it to him so he can learn.
Yeah, it's a speak
and spell. Oh, God, it is a speak and spell. I haven't heard one of those in.
Either have I. How the fuck do you have a working version of a speak and spell? Your house is a fucking museum.
Wow.
I bought it off eBay years ago intending to circuit bend it, and then I just remembered I had it in the closet over there.
That's amazing.
And the fact that it had batteries in it, that is gold.
So I had 3D printed a battery cover, but the little latch snapped off, so I could never actually get it open again without breaking the cover. So I just left the battery in there.
Still working.
And it still works. Yeah, I was gonna circuit bend it at one point, but then I remembered, this thing technically counts as a PC. So
Yeah,
I mean, it had a lot of computing power for its day.
I need to play around with just recording the default sounds off of it at some point.
Yeah, we got to set the mics up and do some recording with that after the show. This is going to get awesome, and we're all going to hell. But that
said, I'm willing to mail it to this man if it will mean he's used a computer. I mean, he's in my field. He's in our field, Syntax. We have to do something.
I honestly think he's doing it correctly, and I say bravo. Continue to just completely be air gapped.
Toasty. At his level, it is more policy than actual maintaining anything.
Maybe he's just
someone
really
that doesn't deal with computers write good security policy for them.
And we all know that people that – well, yeah, because the people that do use computers write shit policy. So this could be a step in the right direction.
Maybe he's a really good relations manager.
He must be to have gotten his job.
No one's doing the IT jokes here for Jen. That's essentially what this guy has become. He's Jen from the IT crowd.
I was thinking more the Amish IT guy, you know, pulls out the planer, starts going at the monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
This dude's Japanese, though. He might actually make something good with it.
He might.
Or is that stereotyping? I give up at this fucking point.
I don't know. But I know. I'm 100% fully behind this guy. Like, he is going to usher in a bold, new, and exciting era in cybersecurity for all of Asia, if not the world. I mean, look at this guy.
I have never operated a plane before. I think I'd be quite capable of flying a 747.
Now, you know what? If he actually did the reading, if he did the policy understanding about, you know, maybe not knowing about USB drives, but maybe if you understood the concept of portable storage, you know, if you knew the concepts and he just never used the damn thing, that'd be different. But they said he couldn't answer a basic question about it. So
that's the thing, Morps. I mean, yes, if he was competent on the reading, understood all the technology, the ins and outs, even though he didn't. Like, that, he's a professor level at that point, you know?
Yeah.
He knows everything about everything that needs to know, but it doesn't sound like he's up to speed. And if you have to bring him to the basics of, sir, this is a USB, this is what a USB does. No, don't worry about unplugging it safely. No one ever fucking does, you idiot. Just pull it out.
just yank that bitch out there across the room.
Yank it out. No one cares. Yeah, it's good.
Well,
to be
I was accused of whipping it out at work the other day, so you know.
Awesome. This is why I work from home.
True story, actually.
This is a long way to catch up to speed for this guy.
Yeah.
So, funny thing about like InfoSec and Japan. So at Con last year, maybe I ran into this whole group of Japanese InfoSec professionals, and they were like, it's really weird because there's like the stigma that the Western world, say, you know, US, EU, Australia had, you know, 10 years ago with the InfoSec community, where we were all a bunch of, you know, punk kids who were just fucking shit up and breaking things.
Half the industry is.
Well, I mean, it still is, honestly.
We'll always be.
Yeah. But they have that stigma and then some, where if you are interested in security and privacy in Japan, you know, and you know, doing it professionally, then like you're a criminal and you're just this nefarious hacker kid. So it's weird that Japan is so far behind, and yet the like fringe counterculture is so far ahead. But yeah, I think that culture is what this came out of. You know, they're like, well, no one wants to do it. We can't find anyone who's willing to be a public figure for this community.
You don't think the prime minister just gave his buddy a position and didn't care whether he was qualified for the job or not?
No, I bet you the prime minister asked several people and they went, nah, because
it's like nobody likes Bill. Give it to Bill.
I'm following you, man. I'm starting to see where you're coming together with this because being Japan a very honorable society and being very close-minded, but the nature of InfoSec and tech dudes, even in Japan, are a little bit crazy, hard-drinking fucking nut jobs. Mm-hmm. But this guy's got to give a public face to that without letting the public see that part of the face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's essentially a really good relationship manager.
Yeah. He's
going to make the public think. Yeah. I see where you're going there. Makes sense now. Just with the whole different cultures and stuff like that, where, you know, conventions like Black Hat and Derby kind of stuff, they get fucking messy, man. They get pretty messy.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what if the average individual, they take. I'm just trying to think. If I was to take my father to a convention, this dude fucking he actually will use the microwave on as a timer, like instead of just using the timer, just to give you a baseline level of tech. It's not that it's a bad thing for him, but he's just not tech savvy whatsoever.
He's just like the hum of the transformer.
That too.
I kind of want to take my dad to a con now, because my father is tech literate, but he owns a motorcycle speed shop, so he's like long hair, like from the 70s, rides a Harley, you know.
If I took my dad,
tattoos.
If I took my
shock.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I would love to just watch him be like, "What in the actual fuck are you guys doing?"
See, yeah. If I took my dad to one of these conferences, he we would come home, and then he would be reenacting the Ron Swanson scene of just gathering up every piece of technology in the house and throwing it in the dumpster. It's like, well, we don't need that. I'll be out in the woodshed. So,
yeah,
we're going back to the 1950s.
Yeah, my dad would find Car Hacking Village and fucking live there.
Be like, nope, this just is not worth the trouble. Never mind, we just don't need the internet. We just don't need computers.
My father
would get a programmer thermostat. Fuck that. I need something.
This is why
there
was never a computer in his house.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. This guy's a face. He's there to make the InfoSec community, I think, in Japan, gain some credibility, which he's not doing.
Well, other countries have a cybersecurity minister. I guess we probably ought to have one too.
Yeah.
So,
dude, I don't think Alice knows anything about computers either.
Yeah, I think he's the only one that said yes to the job because he had no idea what cybersecurity was.
It's like, that sounds important. That'll be the job for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a word in Japanese that sounds close to cyber.
I'm not a fucking weeb. How would I know?
Yeah, but he went, oh, I'm going to be securing whatever. I'm doing a Google search. Carry on.
He's probably saying, do I get the Gundam? Do I get Gundams?
Is it like Ghost in Shell? I liked that one.
I want to be pretty nude robot lady. Why is he Russian all of a sudden?
I don't know. That's just the reaction we're dealing with. Because none of us can do a proper Chinese accent. Japanese accent. God.
Like the closest I've ever... Where the fuck's Fox when you need him with that? Hello, please. Wrong one.
That's all I got.
I'm going to go with Syntax's take on this, because at least I feel a little bit safer with that one.
All right, let's move on. See, this next one is just, again, comedy gold. It's from ZDNet. Card skimming malware removed from InfoWars online store.
Oh, I can't get water filters safely these days.
Malware capable of secretly recording card payment details was removed today, although this was posted on November 14th, so yesterday. Yeah, malware capable of secretly recording payment card details was removed today from the InfoWars online store after ZDNet reached out to the company's staff. The malware, categorized as a generic MageCart infection, was spotted earlier today during a cursory scan by a Dutch security researcher, William de Groot. The malware works by recording payment card details entered inside the store checkout forms and then sending the data to remote servers. InfoWars owner Alex Jones told ZDNet that only 1,600 customers may have been affected, but the number may be even smaller as some of these customers placed reorders. Our customer support base is being contacted so they can watch for any unusual charges to their account and rectify them, Jones told ZDNet in an emailed statement embedded in full at the bottom of the article. What the fuck? Did they actually... Oh, no, that's the code. I was going to say, did they put the raw email code in the article? De Groot spotted the malware infection on the InfoWars online store using a powerful malware scanner that he built a few years back, which is specialized in detecting vulnerabilities and infections in online stores, but and built on top of the Magneto e-commerce platform. I have not detected any other malware in the site in the past 3.5 years, De Groot told ZDNet in an interview today. The first detection was on 2018-11-12, 2137 UTC. It was added in the previous 24 hours, De Groot said, referring to today's discovery of the malicious JavaScript code. The malware that he found was hidden inside a modified block of Google's analytics code. This piece of code, also referred to as a card skimmer or skimmer, was present on all InfoWars store pages, but only activated during the checkout process. The malicious code scraped all the content found inside the checkout form fields every 1.5 seconds and sent the collected data to a remote server located at Google Analytics. Analytics is misspelled. .org, hosted in Lithuania, De Groot told ZDNet after we asked the researcher to analyze the code. A deobfuscated version of the malicious code found here. This is what I like about this article, is they're actually posting the information. Yeah.
So this has been so, unfortunately, InfoWars is not the first people to get hit by this.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay.
Sorry.
Yeah, I have seen this skimming thing pop up a couple of times.
Sure.
In many different places. But
I wonder if anybody told Alex to go change all of his passwords since somebody obviously got into his servers.
Oh God, that's great. So the thing that surprises me is that they do enough business that someone would target them?
Oh no, dude, he does mad business.
Really?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I want to do the article is I imagine there's some crossover in the listenership.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, probably.
So, a couple of days ago, if you were online buying your seeds and water filters, you might want to check your credit card.
Yeah, dude, he makes bank, man.
Also, they're using a fucking system named after a Marvel bad guy?
I don't know.
It's Magneto.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why it's named that.
It's named after a Marvel bad guy.
I mean, it could be. A lot of computer programs get dumb names.
Yeah, that's true.
But, let's see. Earlier today, two cybersecurity firms, RiskIQ and Flashpoint, published a 60-page report on MageCart-like attacks on the e-commerce industry. The report, summarized in the ZDNet piece, presented the tactics and histories of 7 different cybercriminal organizations that have deployed MageCart-like card skimming malware on online stores in the past 4 years. The coding style is unlike any of the groups described in the RiskIQ report, De Groot said, suggesting this may be a totally new operation. It's a popular campaign. There are right now another 100 of typically large stores with the same malware, the researcher added. While the code contains a stealth mode to evade detection, comparable to RiskIQ Group's 4, the implementation is broken. Whoops.
Dang it.
Test your code, guys. There are several other mistakes in the code, and the applied obfuscation is very basic, which is unlike Group 4's methods. While the shoddy implementation suggests an amateurish actor, the profile of its targets are above average. Several of its victims are running Magneto Enterprise, which is usually very well secured. This suggests the attacker is more skilled into hacking servers than to, writing JavaScript code. Or he's just going online and buying the credentials.
That would be more likely.
You, I mean, disgruntled
he's
employees.
Buying the malware. he's buying the credentials.
He's buying logins, yeah. Disgruntled employees are not hard to find. They get pissed off and post accounts on IRC, 4chan, go find a darknet thing all the fucking time. So, believe me, it's not an uncommon threat to hear. It's like, fuck you guys, I'm going to go put the login on 4chan. Then that guy gets tackled. So, actually, well, that's an off-air story. some of the things going on at work lately, I think some people did actually get tackled for making a joke like that. Anyways, I'll be at the Dutch researcher shared the technical details on how the InfoWars store was infected with the card skimmer. The ZDNet will refrain from publishing such information to avoid putting future InfoWars customers at unnecessary risk. This is because even the smallest mistake in patching compromised stores can lead to reinfection. Just yesterday, the group published his research revealing that 1 in 5 online stores suffered a Magecart infection were reinfected at least once. Here's the Alex Jones statement. Can anybody do a really good Alex Jones impersonation? I can't. It'll fuck up my throat.
Once again, need Fox. Yeah, I don't do it.
The criminal hack is an act of industrial and political sabotage. The corporate press is claiming that a Magneto plug-in to the shopping cart was the point of entry, but that is not true. InfoWars store has never installed that plug-in. Oh, God, it's fucking up my throat already.
Is it Alex Jones or Randy Savage? I can't tell.
How does he do that voice all day long?
I don't know.
He's blown out his throat, I guess.
It's all of the whiskey and probably, you know, 4 packs of Marlboro Unfiltered a day through the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Gravity bongs at night.
Yeah.
Just fucking him up.
We use some of the top internet security companies in the nation, and they've reported us that this is a zero-day hack, probably carried out by leftist stay-behind networks hiding inside U.S. intelligence agencies. Magneto's top security people have done a site-wide scan and found no security vulnerabilities. We believe security features we will not mention appear to have been blocked them from getting anyone's credit card numbers. The hack took place less than 24 hours ago and is undoubtedly the hacker group that then reported this to the establishment corporate press in an attempt to scare business away from InfoWarsStore.com. I love this guy.
Do you think anybody just like pulls him over like the Hulk, starts patting his hand and just going, Alex, calm down. It's not all about you. The world doesn't revolve around you, Alex.
So, like, either that or everyone there is just like, no, this is absolutely what it is. And then just giggles incessantly.
A zero-day hack probably carried out by leftist stay-behind networks hiding inside U.S. intelligence.
God. Interdimensional space lizards.
Only 1,600 customers may have been affected. Most of those were reorders, so their information would not have been accessible. Nevertheless, our customer support base is being contacted so they can watch for any unusual charges to their account and rectify them.
Wait, hold on. There's something real important in that last paragraph.
How the hell do you determine unusual when it comes to an InfoWars purchase?
Well, I mean, there's that. But most of these were reorders, so their information was not accessible. So that means that they're keeping
their
credit card
their
numbers
info.
On their
Alex
on their server.
You done goof, son.
Bottom line, this is the latest action. This latest action is a conceited effort to deplatform InfoWars by big tech. The communist Chinese, the Democratic Party, who have been publicly working and lobbying to wipe InfoWars from the safe face of the earth. In summation, America is under attack by globalist forces, and anyone standing up for our republic will be attacked mercilessly by corporate press, Antifa, and rogue intelligence operations. InfoWars will never surrender.
Yeah, so a couple of things here. One, he's like, we've never installed Magneto, and then he's like, and Magneto is top security. Wait, hold on.
The corporate press is claiming that a Magneto plug-in to the shopping cart was the point of entry, but that is not true. InfoWars store has never installed that plugin. So there's a plugin they're saying that was vulnerable, but he's saying we don't use it.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, and also I really don't think that he is that involved in the day-to-day, you know, like nuts and bolts running of his store.
And they have reported to us that this is a zero-day hack probably carried out by leftist stay-behind networks hiding. It's like, God damn, yeah. I can't finish it.
Yeah.
Calm down, I mean, big boy.
And then saying the bullshit about basically, hey, we store everyone's credit card and information and stuff, so if you want to reorder, it's really easy. So you should do that thing. But that's also... I mean, that right there, you're not supposed to be doing that, Alex. Like, one, you're not supposed to be...
secretary?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, like, fucking... Yeah, yeah. No. Fuck that. Let's... Who's that? The person that stands up and, like, talks to the press?
Is it Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's press secretary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give him that fucking job.
That's press secretary.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Man. Yeah, game over, man. Game over.
Said, can we give it to him?
Yeah. Yeah. I bet he'd do that fucking thing for free.
He would.
Tim Acosta would explode. This will be great.
Mr. President, we have an idea.
Who's that little punsy faggot on Spanish TV that's always popping up on fucking Fox News?
Raimundo.
Yes, Raimundo. He'd fucking cut his cock off. Fucking douchebag. I'm fucking doing this, man. This is great. We're not just building a wall. We're building 80 feet tall, and it'll keep out space aliens.
And Sasquatch.
And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to rip that mask off Hillary Clinton and show you that lizard eyes. That fucking hurts.
It does, doesn't it?
And I smoke.
Fuck, hey, stop.
That is wrong button.
Dojo's excited tonight.
Dojo is excited tonight.
Morps' AI is playing up.
I have testicular cancer.
Yep,
yeah,
sure is.
Fuck you.
Time to go nose down and call the night.
Yep.
Okay, let's why don't we keep the hands over here away from
only one.
The trick is not to care, are you? If you
don't
care, no matter how much stupid shit you say, nothing will get clipped out.
I don't, man. That's why we have fun with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping credit card information, Alex. Not cool, dude. Not cool. Is it in plain text?
Probably. I mean, because he doesn't have the security plugins for Magneto, so
left to stay behind networks. I keep coming back to that, and I still can't. It's like, what is a left to stay behind network? I don't understand.
It's because you don't have water filters, man. If you had water filters on your home, you'd understand.
Do you remember when Apple sold that 1U server that was just junk?
The Mac
it was
Mini?
Basically no, it was like a Power Mac.
Oh, the X Serve. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a leftist stay behind network?
Kind of.
Okay.
Most data centers nowadays
referring to NBC.
Most data centers nowadays just kind of, you know, gun tape a Mac Mini into the rack. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to use an Apple for any, like, why? Like, there was a time where the
I've come across 3D printed brackets for putting Mac Minis into racks. So, I mean, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a time that Apple was using Windows Server to run iTunes because it would handle it as they were spinning up that new Linux network that they
there you go. There's the
figure out
Thingiverse link for a single or dual Mac Mini rack mount.
Oh, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to print just a ton of them.
Do you have that many Mac Minis that it's worth doing that?
No, but I mean, can't you buy them on eBay for like $1.50 a piece?
If they're like the old ones still running a power PC.
Well, yeah, because that's all they're worth.
I don't know. I haven't eBayed a Mac Mini lately.
That's awesome.
I don't think it's the same Mac Mini. I think that's the modern one, but let's see. Mac Mini.
I'm like, I'm doing the exact same thing.
Why not? Let's see. Price, let's go up to $50 and see what comes up. Mac Mini Desktop from January 2005, $44. Hey, there's one for $15, but I bet that's a... Oh, that's a bid price. Yeah, those are bids. Let's go buy it now. Yo, because this is what we've come to. Oh, yeah. You Mac Mini Desktop, $30. That's actually not terrible.
Here's a new one, or a 2015, for $150. Buy it now. Or best offer. Oh, shit. You can get it for less than that.
Why are we pushing Mac Minis? Why don't we talk about this corporate warfare with Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from CNBC.com. Facing scrutiny, Facebook reportedly hired a PR firm that wrote negative articles about Apple, about Apple and Google. Facebook expanded its relationship with the Washington-based public relations firm last year that wrote dozens of articles critical of rivals Google and Apple and pushed the idea that liberal financier George Soros was behind the growing anti-Facebook movement, according to a scathing report by the New York Times. My throat still hurts from doing the Alex Jones voice. Let me get some more bourbon here. Facebook expanded its relationship with Defenders Public Affairs in October 20. That's what we need to do is we need to start a PR firm. We'd probably be damn good at it, too. That's the sad part. It's like, we can make up bullshit. Why not?
Oh, I can spin and lie to people. I've been playing D&D and Vampire the Masquerade for years. I'm great at pretending to be someone I'm not.
Hell, I'm married. I'm even better at doing it.
When you look at your spouse lovingly in the eyes and say, let's be other people.
No, it's when you look at your spouse lovingly in the eyes and say, no, honey, you don't look fat in that dress.
Yeah, exactly. I was there. I was married, and I'm not anymore.
And so you told her, let's be other people.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I told her she can still be whoever the fuck she wants. I'm just not going to be there anymore.
It's a negotiated... How did I put it yesterday, Mad Men? It's a negotiated contract of putting up with their shit. There's a certain amount of shit you'll put up with before you find someone else.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There's no magical love in it. It's just how much can you tolerate from that cunt before you walk out?
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
So there was a really good quote. I logged into a server today, and the Kausei fortune came up because some administrator somewhere had a sense of humor.
Actually, it's the default on Ubuntu boxes, or at least it used to be.
This was a BSD box.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And it says, there's nothing like a good dose of another woman to make a man appreciate his wife.
Yeah. Good point.
I was like, oh. Wow.
That man has been in a long-term relationship.
It was a woman that said that.
So
That woman's been in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, 100%.
Meanwhile, back at
the point. It's better the devil you know.
Meanwhile, back at the point, Facebook expanded its relationship with Definers Public Affairs in October 2017 after enduring a year's worth of external criticism over its handling of Russian interference on its social network, according to the report. Wasn't it like $50,000 the Russians spent?
It wasn't interference.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Facebook has nothing to apologize for other than existing. Wait a minute. Its existence should be apologized for, but short of that, when it comes to Russia, it did nothing wrong.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, if according to the Clintons, if that's all it took to swing the election, shit, I mean, doing it wrong. Let's see. The firm reportedly wrote articles that blasted Google and Apple while downplaying the impact of Russian interference on Facebook. Those articles were published on NKT Network, an affiliate of the firm whose contents is often followed by politically conservative outlets, including Breitbart, the report says. Definers Definers Public Affairs also reportedly pressed reporters to explore Soros' financial connections with the group that protested Facebook at congressional hearings in July. Facebook's relationship with Definers Public Affairs were outlined as part of a broader report that looked at the company's handling of numerous scandals over the past 3 years, including Russian interference and the Cambridge Analytica scandal in March. Other revelations...
Only one of those are real.
Other revelations in the report include Sheryl Sandberg's apparent fury when the former chief security chief Alex Stamos told the board of directors in fall of 2017 about the full extent of Russian interference on the platform, and Mark Zuckerberg ordering managers to use Android phones after Apple CEO Tim Cook criticized the company's approach to privacy earlier this year. You want to stay on the board? You got to use a fucking Android.
I can really, actually see him saying that.
What a douchebag.
Like, who the fuck cares what phone you're using?
Yeah, you're a cock fucking... Yeah, fuck him. He's
You know, right before the capacitors blew and the techs had to come in and change out his mainboard.
Yeah, except for the government. The government requires that, or the U.S. government anyways, requires that you use a BlackBerry.
They quit making those BlackBerries. What are they partnering with their strategic hardware provider, eBay?
supposedly, when... the last order the government made was huge so that they could have extras.
Well, that explains how BlackBerry bought Good, and I think they're angling to buy, was it Cyber Reason?
Yeah, because the U.S. got, like, every U.S. government-issued phone is a BlackBerry, which was a really good way to win Spot the Fed at Con.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Let's see. In the blog post published earlier Thursday morning, Facebook said it ended its relationship with Definers Wednesday night, you know, right after somebody else figured it out. The company also denied that it asked Definers to write articles. Well, no, that's just implied. That's how they work. It's called a fixing company. They don't tell you what they're going to do. They just fucking do it so you can claim ignorance later. That's how that works. Facebook said in the blog post that Definers asked journalists to look into the organization Freedom from Facebook, which Facebook says is funded by a well-known critic of the company. The company said that the suggestion that Definers' work was an anti-Semitic attack is reprehensible and untrue. So, oh yeah, that's right. Anybody criticizing George Soros is accused of being anti-Semitic now. I forgot.
Didn't George Soros help the Nazis round Jews up?
Yes, he did. He was proud of it.
Oh, okay.
He said one of the happiest times of his life was when he was in the brown... Madman, check me on this. I know he was helping his dad, and his dad was doing something. I don't remember if he was actually in the brown shirts or not.
I don't think he was old enough to be a brown shirt. I think he may have snarked on some people.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's a great interview he gave, and yet people get mad when they quote it.
I'm not a fan of the Emperor. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, him and the ex-Pope hanging out looking like the Emperor.
Yeah.
He's still Pope. Yeah. You can't be ex-Pope. The dude's still alive. The Antichrist is just taking his spot for a moment.
Damn!
Wow.
Wait. You should have been around. Madman's actually Catholic. He can have that opinion.
Dude,
anyone can have that opinion. It is the correct one.
We were talking about every 500 years the church collapses. We're due for a collapse in the church.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
At least something came out of the piece of Westphalia, guys. I don't see anything here yet. The whole concept of the nation state arose after the last fuck up.
I mean, I grew up Catholic, but I'm not anymore, so I can... I'm claiming ignorance.
Semi-opinionated? I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Yeah,
I
grew
same.
Up Methodist. I have no idea how any of that works, so...
I don't have any invested interest in the Catholic Church, but I wouldn't want to see it go away as an institution.
Boy, that'd be scary, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
there's been a lot of things happening in the last couple of years that are fucking scaring the shit out of me, and I don't order water filters.
Well, no, you'd get your credit card stolen if you did.
No, man, buy water filters. Buy as much as you can off him. Gonna keep this man alive.
Oh, I think RU sent me this story. Steambug allows unlimited free downloads on BBC.
Wait, what? Yeah, that's
yeah,
a great one.
You did send me this.
Yeah. One. I need water, so I'll be back.
Use your filter.
Boil it. It's safer.
Right.
So, this is from the BBC.com. A man has been given $20,000 after discovering a bug in the Steam video game store that let people download any game for free. Aw, you could have told us about it first.
You should have told us about it first.
Yeah, right?
It's like, why do you have every train simulator add-on? Because I can.
I thought if I went for AAA titles, they'd notice.
See, he was probably someone like me, where I'm like, cool, I want one game. I got it. And I'm like, oh, I bet you I can monetize this.
Well, all those people running those Steam key sites go, damn it!
Yeah.
My throat still hurts from doing that Alex Jones presentation earlier. I've been drinking lots of bourbon. I've emptied the decanter.
Wow.
I don't drink too much.
Maybe it's the wrong kind. Are you drinking bullet bourbon?
No, Jim Beam Devil's Cut.
It's the wrong decanter, then.
Shit's evaporating, man. I've got some of that pre-mixed hurricane downstairs. I don't remember. Oh, I bought it because it was cheap. That's what it was. And it's like, I'll try this. It's pure sugar in a bottle, so it's like Kool-Aid with like rum in it. But I was thinking I was going to open that up tonight, but then I decided fuck it and just went straight for the bourbon that I knew was good.
Yeah, I bought the Sextant when I found out about this new job, and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Like
I've just been handed this note by my medical professional. You drink too much. Okay, well, noted. Agreed.
You need to seek a third or fourth opinion.
Uh-huh. Oh, I've just been handed those two. They agreed.
I know of a medical professional that I may or may not be dating that will 100% tell you that you are not drinking enough.
Can you pull her away from her video game long enough to do that? Because that would be appreciated.
Oh no, it's another one.
Oh, not the one I have a picture
I'm
of.
I'm sorry, a different one. Do you have a picture of one?
You sent me one a while back. I found it the other day going through backups.
Very well could be.
The gas mask and the pasties.
Oh no. Well, she's going to be a medical. She's in. That one is in medical school right now, but not a medical professional as of yet.
Meanwhile,
we're helping her with tuition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meanwhile, back at the point. Security researcher Artem Moskowski?
That is exactly what that is.
It sounds like a made-up name. Found a flaw in Steam's portal for game developers that let anybody generate license keys without paying. Millions of people use... Oh, so he could have been selling them on those, like, Kinguin or whatever.
Awesome.
Millions of people use Steam to buy and download games on PC and Mac computers. And Linux! Linux is supported, you bastards! Anyways,
Well, I mean, that's what they mean by Mac.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. I thought Macs
were
BSD.
That's one kick in the dick.
Mr. Moskowski, that name's not going to be hard to say, told Steam owner Valve about the bug, and it awarded him the money as part of its bug bounty scheme. Many companies...
Scheme? Scheme?
It's not a scheme. That's like a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
Many companies reward people who privately disclose security problems so they can be fixed rather than sharing the information online, or even better, selling it, you know, to the highest bidder on IRC. Mr. Moskowski told news site The Register that he discovered the problem by accident when exploring the Steam Partner Portal. By accident, sure it was. The portal lets game studios generate license keys for their software so they can give a copy to fans or journalists to review. But he found that modifying the request let anybody generate thousands of codes for any game they wanted. Nobody had seen had an alert for X number of keys being generated in a minute, because I think that would be a normal alert they would be running in their Splunk instance. These could theoretically be sold online on the black market. I managed to bypass the verification of ownership of the game by changing only one parameter, he told. Game name equals. Well, it's probably the ID number, but still.
Yeah. So someone who knew how to use Burp. Okay. Cool. Let's try this replay attack. Go.
The Valve awarded him $15,000 and a $5,000 bonus for making the private disclosure. The flaw has since been fixed. Valve said.
Wait a minute. So Valve will give you $15K because you found it, but they added a bonus because he didn't disclose it?
Yeah, like, I'm sure the bonus was because, oh fuck, how much money could you have made from this? We're being nice.
Like. Yeah, but the way this is worded, it's like, okay, I only sold it a little bit. And like, oh, you don't get the bonus.
That I'm okay with that for the 50K I sold it for online a week ago.
Exactly.
Valve said the investigation of its logs did not show that anybody exploited the bug. Did not show. So in other words, you know, the last week of logs, which is about most all companies keep.
So. Yeah.
They're not going to admit to it, even if it did happen.
Oh, absolutely not.
So
yeah, that's like political suicide. Like, oh yeah, no, like someone's been like it's been in the wild.
You imagine?
Sorry,
Valve's publicly traded, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, and so all of the game companies that do business through Steam would then have like a damages claim if
oh,
they
no,
said,
it's still
yeah.
privately held. It's privately held. But you're right. All of their partners would have been like, the fuck?
Yeah. And they would have had a claim and they would have taken legal action. So, of course, they're going to be like, nah. Nah. Like, no, we're good. It's fine. It's fine.
F-U-C-K.
Exactly. Yep.
Next article. Surprising no one. It's from Reuters. Chip designer NVIDIA on Thursday forecast disappointing sales for the holiday quarter, pinning the blame on unsold chips piling up with distributors and retailers after the evaporation of the cryptocurrency mining boom.
So no one said, hey, this is a bubble, it's going to burst.
Like, especially not the people trading Bitcoin. Speaking of, I haven't looked at Bitcoin's price lately.
It's low.
I pulled all my money out a while back, but I still lost a little at the end there.
It's real low right now. I can't lose money on mine because I got mine at 10.
Bitcoin is down to 55,000. Ethereum's at 177. Litecoin's at $43. Ouch.
Yeah, I mined mine when they were $10 a coin.
I wish I'd kept the ones I mined at $10 a coin. Anyways, we still need to give Suave a hard time over the, because he bought like 5 Bitcoin when they were $15 a piece and spent it online.
Awesome. Now there was a coffee shop here that started taking Bitcoin when it was like a couple of $100 a coin, I bought several cups of coffee, and then I realized those were the most expensive cups of coffee
you'd ever bought in your life. Yeah,
I have ever bought in my life.
Yeah, I had the whole Raspberry Pi running the USB miners hidden behind a bookshelf in my old house for a while. Madman Amazing. Found it one day and wanted to know if it was a bomb.
Yes.
It was ticking.
It was ticking.
Smell the bozone.
It did bombs, that too.
Got to remember, bombs. Bombs don't tick.
They
Modern
vibrate.
Bombs vibrate.
It's not. We have to. We can't use a possessive. Is it the dildo, not your dildo?
It's in your house. I was just going to assume if I ever found that.
Let's see. The Santa Clara, California-based company also posted sales that missed expectations for its third quarter. Sales plunged nearly 17% in late trading to $168.32 a share. For decades, NVIDIA has supplied gaming cards to boost computer graphics, but in recent years, cryptocurrency miners adopted the company's cards to turn bits into wealth. That phrase just hurt to say, more than impersonating Alex Jones. Chief Executive Jensen Huang said prices for NVIDIA's gaming cards had risen with the cryptocurrency frenzy, driving some buyers away. As the frenzy receded and card prices came down, NVIDIA experienced expected sales volumes to grow again as buyers who were priced out came back. But that process was slower than NVIDIA expected, Huang said, saying he expects inventories to be at normal levels by the end of the current quarter. I doubt it, buddy. A lot of people got really used to running at medium settings. Because, you know, the 1080s were priced out of most people's. It's like $1,000 for a graphics card? Fuck you! So it's going to be a while. And, of course, they released it, the 2080, you know, the RX 2000 line. And those things are priced out at what they would have been from Bitcoin miners. So, yeah, good luck with that. I'm not buying one anytime soon. And I'm starting to get into VR shit.
Yeah, a friend of mine bought one, and he's like, it's really good. I wish I wouldn't have, because it's not that much better.
Well, it's supposed to be way better at the ray tracing stuff, but, like, nothing's using that yet.
Yeah. So it might be good, and his whole thing was, I'm hoping to kind of, like, future-proof a bit, but...
Yeah. I'm waiting on Vulkan adoption to pick up, because I think that'll really be where most people want to go, but what do I know? The crypto hangover lasted longer than we expected, Huang said on a conference call. We thought we had done a better job managing the cryptocurrency dynamics, he later added. Stripping the graphics connectors off cards and selling them as mining cards is how you managed it? As a result, NVIDIA stopped shipping some of its mid-priced chips to retailers where they were stacking up in warehouses and the backs of stores. The company said its provisions for inventories expanded more than fivefold in the fiscal third quarter to $70 million, and that the same provision had more than tripled for the first 9 months of its fiscal year to $124 million. Damn, that's a lot of cards laying around.
So that means that the time to buy a graphics card is right about first of the year.
That's perfect for Christmas.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, first of the year, so just after Christmas, like... buy graphics cards because they're really going to be, or just before.
Yeah, everybody's going to be trying to liquidate their inventory after Christmas.
Yeah, and since most businesses go on a fiscal year, which doesn't end until like March.
Hang on to those Christmas card dollars, kids.
Yeah, and so, you know, all of these companies are going to really try and make their, you know, their first quarter 19, which is the end of their fiscal year, be good. And so they're just going to blow them out. They're going to do whatever they can to make a few dollars per chip. So that's probably when I'll buy a 1080 or something.
So
bridging's out of flavor now, isn't it?
So what?
Bridging's out of flavor now. No one bridges cards anymore.
Somewhat, but yeah, it's not done nearly as often, just because you don't get as much of a performance boost as you would expect.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you can get some of these cards at a cheap price,
why not buy
two?
It would be worth doing if you can get these things super cheap. But yeah, if you skip to the end of the article, NVIDIA's earnings is still growing. Their stock price is going to come back. So, you know, it's not like they're actually hurting as a company. They just had a dip because of this. Or at least they're claiming it's because of this. I think it's because they released their new graphics cards at way too high of a price point. But that's just me.
Well, yeah, because they were hoping that...
Yeah, they wanted to normalize these things at those crazy high prices.
Yeah, and they were hoping that the cryptocurrency stuff would stay around for a little longer. It didn't.
Well, whatever, the bottom hadn't dropped out of that market.
Yeah, they gambled, they lost, and now they're just trying to kind of make up their losses a bit. And yeah, it's fine. Like, it'll
it's
come
fine,
back
everything's
down.
Fine here. Don't pay any attention to the house being on fire.
Exactly.
Last article for tonight. It's from Torrent Freak. The owners of the now-defunct ROM site LoveROMs.com and LoveRetro.com or .co, have agreed to a $12 million judgment in favor of Nintendo. The operators, a married couple, admit to both direct and indirect copyright and trademark infringement. Both parties requested the court to sign off on this unusual judgment, which will end their legal battle. The fact that they agreed to $12 million means somebody at Nintendo scared the fuck out of them.
Yeah. Or they have a really good bankruptcy attorney. So they're going to get this judgment against them. They're going to immediately file bankruptcy. They're going to, you know, because the money that they've squirreled away in the Cayman Islands is, you know, untraceable. They're going to be like, oh, man, we had to sell our house. We had to sell our cars, all of that. Well, shit. I guess we're going to move to Barbados.
I like your story better. It's more entertaining than mine. This summer, Nintendo made it totally clear that websites offering access to its retro games and ROMs will not be tolerated. The Japanese game developer filed a complaint at federal court in Arizona, accusing LoveROMs.com and LoveRetro.co, I've been drinking, of massive copyright and trademark infringement. Faced with millions of dollars in potential, actually given how crazy the copyright laws are, $12 million might have been cheap. Faced with millions of dollars of potential damages, the operators of the sites, Jacob Mathis, swiftly took the platforms offline. The legal action also led to the shutdown of several other ROM sites who feared they could be next, which is exactly what Nintendo wanted because they started selling all their old games as classics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're funny, whole, are you?
The whole classic.
How many more do you want?
The whole classic. You know what I mean? Arcade
so I'm just
thing.
Sitting there jerking off to this fucking story. I'm like, wow, you got fucked, man. There are so many websites out there to play ROMs on.
Like, oh, hey. I am bookmarking.
I haven't checked any of these ones, so there could be some malware or something.
So I'm going to throw the link in the. I'm going to throw the link in the IRC. It's not going in the show notes. That's an incentive for you people to be on the IRC during the show.
I mean, I'll just download them onto my Linux box first and look at them. Oh, there's Excitebike. I fucking
dude. There's
love
everything,
Excitebike.
And if you look along the top, you can do other consoles as well.
Wait, ooh, do they have Blaster Master? Search for games.
Dude, there's Sega. There's Sega CD.
ooh, Sega CD.
Sega Blaster, like an American.
Blaster Master. Holy shit, you can run them in Flash.
Yes. Can you download them?
Because
I'd be more interested in doing that for like portables and shit.
I mean, I would imagine it's just a Flash applet, so I'd imagine you can probably strip it out, but... Oh my god, I'm totally doing this. Yeah,
you just lost him his job. He's going to spend too much time playing Excitebike and Flash.
You can also play Atari Jaguar. There's Atari Jaguar stuff on there. There's, was it NEC?
God.
Those guys. Yeah, there's everything there.
No, that's there's not. I know what's not there.
But, got me.
They have Blaster Master. Fuck it. This is what I'm doing.
Well, so much for his new job. It quickly became clear that Mathis and his wife, who later added to the complaint, or who was later added to the complaint, were not looking forward to a drawn-out legal battle. Instead, they engaged in settlement discussions with Nintendo, hoping to resolve the matter without too much bloodshed. Today, we can report that both sides have indeed reached a deal. They agreed to a consent judgment and permanent injunction that will resolve all outstanding disputes. Paperwork obtained by Torrent Freak shows that Mathis and his wife admit that their involvement with the website constituted direct and indirect copyright and trademark infringement, which caused Nintendo irreparable injury. I should hit the button, but I'm not going to. However, on paper,
huh?
Yeah. However, on paper, the married couple won't be getting off cheaply. On the contrary, they actually agreed to a judgment that exceeds $12 million. Somebody get a picture of Dr. Evil with the pinky. Plaintiff is hereby awarded judgment against all defendants jointly and separately in the amount of $12,230,000. The proposed language reads... It seems unlikely the couple has this kind of money in the bank or that a jury would have reached a similar figure. So with a high amount, we can only speculate, but it's possible that Nintendo negotiated such a high number on paper to act as a deterrent to other side operators. In practice, the defendants could end up paying much less. It wouldn't be the first time that a judgment in court is more than what the parties agreed to privately. This happened before in the MPAA's lawsuit against Hotfile, where an $80 million judgment in court translated to a $4 million behind-the-scenes settlement. In addition, the monetary judgment, both parties also agreed on a permanent injunction. This will prevent the couple from infringing Nintendo's copyrights going forward. They further have to hand over all Nintendo games and emulators they have at their own expense. On top of that, the permanent injunction requires them to sign over LoveROMs.com and LoveRetro.com to the Japanese company. I'm kind of curious. I'm going to go to LoveROMs.com and see what it comes up. I expect a message. The documents have yet to be signed off by a judge, but considering that both parties agree with it, it should be a formality. After that, it's...
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
That not about was the money, the it's about sending a message. And obviously that message hasn't been fucking heard because there are thousands of these websites out there.
Oh, damn. So if you go to LoveROMs.com, apology to Nintendo. Our website, LoveROMs.com/LoveRetro.co, previously offered and performed unauthorized copies of Nintendo games in violation of Nintendo's copyrights and trademarks. That's how they're claiming all the games that weren't direct Nintendo titles, the ones that were like ported by Capcom and, you know, the 100 other companies.
I tried to go to LoveROMs.com and immediately got blocked by Firefox. It was like, nah, you're not going there.
You don't want to go.
What the fuck are you doing?
Please visit Nintendo.com for information about the Nintendo Game Store. Yeah, Nintendo only cares because they started selling their old ROMs on, you know, their things to their retro store.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Syntax, you decided you were taking over part of Dojo today, so tell us about Proxy Cannon.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so Proxy Cannon is really neat. So have you ever been, you know, doing nefarious things on the internet and then you get IP banned?
My lawyer has instructed me to say no.
Exactly. Neither have I or anyone else out there. But in this hypothetical, have you ever been like, you know, I wish I had an Azure and Google and what is it, CloudSource and AWS botnet that I could load balance.
And once again, my lawyer has told me not to admit to owning such things.
Yeah, to load balance my hypothetical pen testing attacks. Well, that's what this does. It's basically a load balancer for all of your attacks that allows you to basically come at a thing with multiple IP addresses. It really confuses the fuck out of IDSs. It's really neat. Yes, it might cost you some money because you do have to spin up some AWS instances and some Azure instances, but it's... And supposedly there's one out there that does it for free. I just haven't got it to work yet, so I'm not going to give the name out for it. But
your ability to search Pastebin and GitHub disappoints me, sir. I mean, my lawyer has instructed me not to say such things.
There's Master Blaster. I now have Master Blaster on Blaster Master, whatever, on my screen right now. So I like that takes way more priority than searching Pastebin for, you know, when I can throw like a few dollars at a program or at a problem and it goes away, that's a few dollars well spent. Because honestly, spinning up an AWS instance is next to nothing.
Well, if it's somebody else's credit card, it's even less.
Exactly. I mean, but I've never done anything like that. Ever.
That we're going to admit to or has passed the statute of limitations. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it's basically think of it as a load balancer for an attack going out. You know, if you want to be dumb with Burp Suite or with Durbuster or just anything, you want to do something stupid, and instead of using a single IP, you can use a bunch of them and have it load balanced across it. It's actually really neat. It's pretty easy to use.
From the GitHub page, thank you to Wild West Hacking Fest for your help in supporting our community-driven hackathon. We created an on-demand proxy tool that leverages cloud environments to give the user the ability to source all of your traffic from an endless supply of cloud-based IP addresses. Think of it as your own private Tor network for your red team and pen test engagements. No more defenses throttling and blocking you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this thing's basically a research botnet, and not only can you use DigitalOcean, Amazon, Google, Azure, I'm also thinking you could easily spin up your own instances because Amazon publishes their open source copies of most of Amazon's API stuff. You could like spin up your own at home and do botnet research with how these things communicate if you wanted to do that as well. But yeah, this is for absolutely spinning up proxy servers across multiple cloud instances so you don't get your IP blocked.
Yeah, it works well. So I've heard.
I like how the diagram has target/victim on there. It's like no, totally legit pen test tool with the word victim on it. Yeah, that's how that.
Smoke weed every day.
Whoops, wrong button. Anyways, we're just gonna roll with it. So the last thing I have for you tonight is actually this really badass YouTube video, which YouTube was recommending for a lot of people who have tech in their whatever the auto-generated profile thing is. But I saw the post on Hackaday a few days ago and R Linux a few days ago where what the hell? There we go. I've been drinking. That's what the hell. Somebody found a whole bunch of Raspberry Pis with like an extra USB Wi-Fi interface and a battery pack and a Mac address like stuck on the thing that was obviously printed with like an El Cheapo Dynamo label printer, right? And in the video, they go through breaking down because, you know, they appropriated one of the devices and took an image of the SD card and started trying to figure out what it did. And they later ultimately figured out, well, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it. It's a good video. It shows how to break down what a Linux system might be doing, ways of identifying scripts and what the thing's actually running. And it's a good video. Couple of things on there kind of had my eye twitching about, you know, how difficult of a time they had taking an image of the SD card for the researcher to examine. That kind of hurt like a lot actually, because it's like DD for Windows. God. Anyways,
yeah, it's that made me giggle and made my eye twitch just a bit as well. The other thing that got me was the whole T-Touch label. Because
yeah.
Now I have to go out and buy a T-Touch labeler.
But that said, they ultimately figured out the devices were legit, but I'm not going to tell you what they were. But it's a good video, especially on how to pick apart a device and try to figure out what it's doing, especially because I think this is going to become more common. Raspberry Pis are cheap. Clones of it are cheap. So, I mean, before long, it's going to be the idea of leaving behind a quad-core or octa-core device that you know you're not getting back somewhere, or that the attacker knows that they're not getting back somewhere, long enough to pull out the attack and do whatever it is they're going to do and then move on with life, is a thing. And people are going to find these more and more often. And this one happened to be one that was actually legit, but because I like the post at the end saying, please return it to the library. This is library property. But
So there's a lot of these that aren't. Done. Yeah, there was a talk that was done about 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was DEF CON 21, and it was called Spying on a City for Fun and Frivolity, and he's using basically the exact same hardware, but it was correlating devices with other devices to create profiles of people and doing packet capture and analysis with the exact same hardware.
I mean, I can't be the only one who's left a netbook in a school laboratory and retrieved it after, you know, peeling the duct tape off the inner side of the table a week later, right?
I mean, right? How many people have used Wi-Fi pineapples and just left them somewhere?
Sure. They're cheap enough. So,
yeah. It's the exact same thing. Like, this is going to get way more common. And bravo for the guy who found it and went, the fuck is this? Like, freaked out a bit and took it and had, you know, had the you know, took the time to actually go through and find someone who is good at reversing things and actually get it done.
Yeah. It's a fantastic video. Definitely worth your time to watch, especially if you're into things like Raspis, embedded machines, or just reversing. You know, doing simple systems forensics. Actually, it's a pretty good walkthrough of that. You know, figuring out what one of these things does based on an image of the disk. I thought, you know, it's a pretty good walkthrough of that, if nothing else. So, personally, I listened to the video while playing Duke Nukem 3D, but, you know, to each their own. It's definitely worth your time to listen to, and that's all I've really got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Probably not next Thursday, given the holiday, though. Yeah, definitely not next Thursday, now that I think about it. You know, the whole Thanksgiving thing and, you know, having to see family and pretend you don't have a online internet persona.
Trying not to stab any.
Yeah, pretending like I'm not placing Raspberry Pis in all of their houses.
Strategic locations throughout the house, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. Madman, closing thoughts.
Top Gun shouldn't be on the list of worst emulators. That was an okay game.
Fucking word.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
Gentlemen, enjoy your emulator gaming this week. I'm glad I could have been of service.
Syntax, closing thoughts.
Thank you, RU, for making me unemployed again.
Oh, shit. Almost forgot, RU. We haven't been checking in. What's the scoreboard at?
I didn't keep score this week. But I'm going to declare BSV the winner, otherwise he's going to hurt
he's
me.
He's still waiting on getting your animal back.
I want my turtle back.
Wait, there's a... What is this new game?
BSV won it a few weeks ago, and now we know why.
I miss my turtle.
Yeah, what's this new game?
I don't know. We started arbitrarily keeping score. I mean, I don't know. I mean...
Okay. Off
BSV
air.
BSV just crushed the show a couple of weeks ago with some hilarious one-liners.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
We declared him the winner.
Oh, okay. Oh, awesome. Well, yeah. I mean, BSV better win, because if not, he will kill us all.
And he has my turtle.
Oh, yeah. No, then he doesn't win, because fuck your turtle.
God damn it.
I'm going to close this out before it gets any worse for RU Turtle.
Or it's only going downhill from here, Papa.
Damn it. Where's the buttons?
You can do a little speak and spell.
Where's the damn stop recording button? There it is.